Welcome back to the show. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on this first Sunday in August, embarking on hour number two. 9 o'clock hour means, of course, it is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, GM is departing the Buick Open. This is the final year of the Buick Open after over 50 years. General Motors Company ending its half-century run as sponsor of the Buick Open golf tournament as it tries to focus scarce marketing dollars on its cars and trucks, of course. So this is the last Buick Open. Kind of classy that Tiger Woods is here for the final tournament. He's won here twice, looking like he possibly can notch a third victory in this event. Of course, Buick was his sponsor for 9 years up until the end of last year. Pat, your thoughts on the Buick Open departing? Perhaps maybe Buick Invitational is next.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, Russ. You know, you're talking about a sponsor, even though they've been there a long time. I don't have any particular affinity to Buick, or there's no magic to me to the name Buick Open or Buick. There's too many Buick tournaments as there is now. Now, if there was one Buick, it was like the Buick Open or the Buick Classic or whatever, and that was it. It was always the same time every year, and maybe you could get a little jazzed up about it. But there's three or four of these Buick tournaments. You don't know, you know, per se where, when, you know, I know the one's in Torrey Pines and this one's at Grand Blanc, and, you know, but there's no magic to it. So I'm not going to get all sentimental about the Buick Open or Buick Invitational. I think it's a shame for the PGA Tour to lose a longtime sponsor, but, I'm not going to cry over it. I just think somebody else will step in there and maybe do just as good a job as Buick's done with it. But just from the standpoint that they've been there so long, it is going to be different without them. But I'm not going to cry about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Good point, Pat. I think this will amp up the excitement for what is looking like will be the only Buick tournament in 2010. That's the Buick Invitational at Torrey Pines, a place that Tiger Woods has made his personal annuity. So perhaps the other Buick tournaments falling by the wayside will make the Buick Invitational at Torrey Pines that much better. In regards to this spot on the PGA Tour schedule for 2010, Golf Week reporting that the Greenbrier, the venerable mountain retreat recently rescued from financial straits, is awaiting confirmation from the Tour to join the schedule next year. The West Virginia Resort would replace the Buick Open, which of course, this week ending its 51-year run on tour. So interesting news there about the Greenbrier. All right, topic number two, John Daly back in the news, and of course, he missed the cut earlier this week, shot an 88 on Friday at the Buick to miss the cut, and news coming down that the Golf Channel will debut a second John Daly reality show, and John Daly's trying to insist that he's not a beer-swilling, troublemaking guy anymore. Daly said on Wednesday that an upcoming reality show on the Golf Channel will feature him and provide a glimpse on his new and improved life, which includes dropping 90 pounds. And, you know, some commentators this week, earlier this week, Pat, during the Buick Open coverage, speculating that perhaps he's dropped too much weight too quickly and maybe he's not eating enough and perhaps he doesn't have enough energy to play good golf. And he shot an 88 on Friday.
Many topics in that one question there, Russ. Let's just get into number one, shooting the 88. The problem is we've seen this out of Daly before. This is the old John Daly. This isn't the new, improved, I'm going to grind it out, I'm going to concentrate. This is a guy who's completely gone in the tank, shooting a 51 on the back nine. Russ, that, you know, pros don't do that. He's doing that on purpose. He's actually, instead of withdrawing, which I don't understand why he just doesn't withdraw, you know, and I'll give Daly a little bit of credit for that, but not much, because he does this a lot, or he used to anyway, where he'd shoot these crazy numbers, you know, taking 13s on holes and things like that, just to be stubborn and you know, I don't know what he's trying to prove or anything like that, but it's not a good example to anybody, and it just furthers that perception that John doesn't care, and he's almost given, you know, the middle finger to the people that are out there watching him or rooting him on and hoping he is changing, turning his life around by shooting a number like that. Now, as far as the reality show, you know, John Daly not drinking beer and making trouble, I don't know, is that going to really pump up the ratings, just seeing a, you know, John Daly going to bed at 9:30? The final thing on the weight loss, you know, he got the stomach stapled or whatever it was. And the only thing with that, Russ, is, and I'm not out there to disparage anybody that's gone through this surgery. Some people absolutely have to do it. They've tried everything. They can't lose weight. I don't know if this is the case with John, but when you don't earn that weight loss, when you don't go, or at least try to go through that process of, I'm going to watch what I eat, I'm going to exercise, and earn it, and really make a lifestyle change to that, instead you're taking the shortcut and getting surgery, I what's going to stop John at some point from just start pounding, beer again, or eating cheeseburgers or whatever, because he got this through a shortcut method to lose this weight. And as far as losing too much, I don't know. I mean, maybe it is affecting his strength or his stamina or his thinking ability. I have no idea. But I don't think you're seeing a new improved John Daly. I think you're seeing a guy who realizes he's getting close to the end of this. He's 45 right now. I think if he can make it to the senior tour, I think he'll be a big hit on the senior tour. But I think it goes back to our worries that John is not going to make it physically past the age of 50, doing a lot of the stuff that he seems like he's still doing.
Yeah, John Daly, as we've said many a times before on this program, an incredible waste of talent. He said, quote, "I'm more laid back nowadays. It won't have the hustle and bustle of the last show." And he's referring to his last reality show. Golf Channel had a 13-part series titled The Daily Planet 3 years ago in 2006. The first of at least 8 episodes of the yet-to-be-named reality show will air in early 2010. Daly says he thinks the name of the show should be Out of the Rough. He returned to the PGA Tour earlier this year after a 6-month suspension. He has been to alcohol rehab twice. He's been married 3 times. He's currently married a 4th time, and he's going through a divorce for that marriage right now. And he's got a girlfriend. So he's still married, technically. He's going through a divorce, and he's got a girlfriend. So a lot of different stuff going on with John Daly that obviously is detracting from his golf. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic, and this is our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number 3, and Pat, we know that Donald Trump has been beating the drums for one of his courses to host a U.S. Open for years now. He's now taking that a step further and not only trying to promote his courses, but detracting from current U.S. Open venues. Donald Trump speaking earlier this week about the old and new courses at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey, which are currently hosting the U.S. Junior, and which Trump hopes someday will be selected to stage a U.S. Open. He said, quote, "I know Bethpage Black better than anybody. I've played it hundreds and hundreds of times, and honestly, my courses are much better," end quote. Pat, your thoughts?
I hate to. I don't hate. I think Donald's right, to tell you the truth, Russ. I think, I've never played his courses up in Bedminster. I played this one here, and it's spectacular. I don't think they would host a U.S. Open down here unless they're willing to change the date of it. He has a course out in Los Angeles. He's got a couple courses around the country, and really around the world, that. That he built, in from what he said, specifically to host the U.S. Open. And when you see courses like the one in Washington State that is a public course that I think just opened,
Chambers
that
Bay
is going to get a U.S. Open, and you see some of these other, nothing against Bethpage Black, but because I've never played it. But Donald Trump's a very good golfer, single-digit handicap. If he's played Bethpage a bunch of times, and I understand this is all self-promotion too, but if he's played it and says, look, my courses are better, I think Donald's got an opinion, a valid point on this one. Now, I will say, if his courses up in New Jersey are hosting U.S. Junior amateurs and things, that's kind of how the USGA tests courses. They'll give you a lesser tournament like a U.S. Amateur or, U.S. Women's Open or something like that, and they'll see how the course is able to handle that field and the spectators for that and just in general traffic flow and all that kind of stuff. And then if you can do a good job with that, that's usually when they award you a U.S. Open. So I think what's happening with Donald is his courses are maybe going through that trial and error stage where the USGA is testing them to see if they're ready. But he also is seeing these other new courses just get U.S. Opens and not have to go through that trial and error. So I think, based on what you just said, I think Donald has some valid points here. I'm not saying that they should absolutely give him a U.S. Open, but what I'm saying is if they're just going to jump over some of these venues that are dying to get U.S. Opens and are going through having to host U.S. Amateurs or U.S. Junior Amateurs or whatever, and they're all prestigious tournaments, don't get me wrong, but when a Chambers Bay gets a U.S. Open, And it's a relatively new course. I think some of these folks that have these other courses have valid points.
Well, I think you make an interesting point, Pat, and one that I hadn't considered. But my immediate thought to this story is this is not the way to go about getting a U.S. Open.
He's not going to make people happy doing
exactly.
It.
The USGA is not going to look highly on this. And I think that they're giving him a glimmer of hope by holding the U.S. Junior at his Bedminster, New Jersey track. So keep your mouth shut. And that's obviously hard for Donald Trump to do. But let the process play itself out, and perhaps you'll get a U.S. Open someday. All right, fourth and final topic here in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, and that is the final major of the year, Pat. Glory's last shot.
Oh,
2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from this weekend in Minnesota at Hazeltine. 7 years since we were last at Hazeltine for the 2002 PGA Championship, won by Rich Beam over Tiger Woods. Tiger birdied his final four holes, but the run fell short, one stroke short, as Beam won. Now this is going to be an interesting major. We've had an interesting year on the PGA Tour. 2003 was the last year I feel that we had so many surprise major champions, and that's the year when we had Sean McKeel and Ben Curtis winning majors, along with Jim Furyk won his first major, and Mike Weir, of course, that year won the Masters. But we had Angel Cabrera kind of come from nowhere, hadn't heard from him since 2 years ago when he won at Oakmont for the U.S. Open. And then, of course, we had Lucas Glover and Stuart Sink, both of those players notching their first ever major championships at the U.S. Open and British Open, respectively. So we come to the year's final major. Tiger is winless on the year in the majors, fresh off missing the cut at Turnberry. Now, it is looking like he'll notch his fourth win this year at the Buick Open later today. Phil's going to be returning for the first time in almost 2 months since taking the hiatus to be with his wife and also his mother fighting breast cancer. And it's good news that both of the prognoses for those women looking bright. What are you expecting from this year's final major?
I think Tiger will concentrate and try to win this major, Russ, as hard as any he's ever done before. Number one, because of the miscut at Turnberry, I think that's why he's playing in the Buick this week, because he wouldn't have normally played in this, because he's going to end up playing 3 weeks in a row, which Tiger almost never does, because he'll play at Firestone next week before the PGA. So I think coming off that miscut, and everyone like, oh, what's wrong with you? You know, now you haven't won any of the majors. And after trying to prove that the knees is fine, and just that he doesn't want to go for the first time since 2004 without, you know, a major in his closet, I think he is going to try as hard as he can. Now, you can try and still not happen, but it sort of reminds me a little bit about Southern Hills, where Tiger didn't do so well there in the U.S. Open in 2001 and then came back and just creamed the field when they had the PGA there a few years later.
And nearly shot a 62 that year.
Right. I think you might see an outstanding performance out of Tiger at Hazeltine. But, you know, with that said, you know, Justin Leonard played real well in that 2002 and blew up, shot a 77, I think, the last round. Rich Beam, I just remember hitting a 5-wood or something on one of the ending par fives and ended up eagling it. And the other memory I have from that 2002 is Tiger hitting a 3-iron out of a trap over trees. Maybe one of the best shots I've ever seen, not just out of Tiger, but out of anybody, to birdie one of those final four holes. Tiger had some good vibes going into that, you know, that final round. So I think he likes the course. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you saw him really ratchet it up and do something spectacular.
You know, it's interesting, Pat. That's the exact same opinion that I have going into the PGA Championship. Now, obviously, I'm more of a pro-Tiger guy than you are, but for you to have that opinion as not necessarily a pro-Tiger guy makes me feel that my idea that Tiger is going to really focus and possibly win this major, you know, validates it a little bit more. Now, it's a little dangerous, though. It's a fine line when you put so much import on one tournament and try to focus so much and really, you know, worry so much. And maybe not worry is not the right word, but try to win so much, you know, put so much effort into winning. Sometimes the better approach is to be a little more laissez-faire about things and let them come to you. Now, remember in 2006, when Tiger's father, Earl, was on his deathbed, he wanted to win that Masters so much, and he didn't play well there. Then after his father passed away, a couple weeks later, he played the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, missed the cut. Obviously, it was tough times for him. Now, he did come back a month later and win the British Open at Hoylake, but I think Tiger will win this PGA Championship. However, I do think it's a dangerous road, when he wants wants to win so badly, sometimes that doesn't work out. That's another edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Coming up next, Andy Cagnetta, the CEO of Trans World Business Brokers, going to talk to Andy about business and golf. How many business deals has he ever gone over on the golf course? How does he incorporate the game of golf and his own business? That's coming up next. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic.